All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Like, I have a debt to pay to them guys. We're going to win a Stanley Cup for them.
Stop by Markstrom. What a save by Jacob Markstrom. Off to Hunter Sagan. Sent to Chuck Anderson with a little cover. Scores! Rasmus Anderson. Johnny Gaudreau. Play on penalty shot. Scores on the backhand. Gaudreau puts it home and makes it 2-0 Calgary. And if it hustles over to it. Fires a pass to Gaudreau. Lindholm all alone. Scores! Elias Lindholm gets his third of the playoffs. 54 shots. Markstrom stops 34-35. We've got ourselves a series.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the In the Dome podcast.
All right, I don't know where you want to start. It's pretty hard not to start with game four. But maybe we just kind of ping pong through two games. But why don't we begin with this? How are you feeling right now? How were you feeling after that win last night?
Dude, I am so freaking relieved. Honestly, this is going to sound super lame, but I literally almost like cried when Johnny Gaudreau scored that goal yesterday. It was just like honestly, that was the emotion I was feeling. I was just like, I'm watching that. And I'm like, fuck, they're going to give him a penalty shot. I was like, do not give him a penalty shot because I don't want to face that pressure. I don't want Johnny to have to face that pressure. He misses that after the freaking hubbub they made about him missing that breakaway in game three. This is it. This is it. He scores it. I literally like almost had freaking tears in my eyes. It was so relieving. So I am just incredibly, incredibly relieved. Holy shit.
The tears must be because of the gravitas of it all, or the gravity of it all. Because like you said, this playoff, the Flames playoff performance, regardless of how it goes, will come down to Johnny Gaudreau. It'll be his responsibility, whichever way the team goes. I mean, as long as the team has some success and he's putting up points, you know, maybe he can silence some critics. And hey, we all have the critic as well, right? Like, there was going into last night's game after game three, it's loss, and everybody's PTSD fucking is on full alert. Because mine sure was. I know yours sure was.
These people who are like, I don't know what these people are on, if they're on like some sort of mind numbing drugs or some shit, but like I said this last week, like if you weren't nervous out of your skull going into last night's game, I don't know who you are. Because like, and even in period two, like after that Toffoli save on Drouin, I was like, fuck, they can't do this. They cannot win in the playoffs. So if you didn't have severe PTSD and severe anxiety heading into that game, I don't know what you're on. I would like some of it, but holy shit.
Well, I think most people did. Most people had the extreme version of it.
Yeah, exactly.
At least I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, well, still 2-1. There's still quite a bit of the series left. Technically, the series is not even half over yet if it goes 7 games. Let's not fucking completely quit.
Everybody stay calm. Let's not lose our heads here.
Fire! There's a fire!
That's what it was like.
Women, children, get out of my way!
How do you live with yourself?
That's the George pushing the elderly women and children out of his way to make sure he's first out of the exit when there's a fire.
She should be thanking me for treating everyone as equals. Well, maybe when she's released from the burn center, she'll see things differently.
But it's true. I don't know where this is going to be interesting, man, because this series is not playing out how I thought it would. I did think that Dallas was going to be a challenge. I was pretty damn certain the Flames were going to get over the challenge, but in order to do so, they were going to have to go through the challenge. So I don't know. We'll see how this, I mean, on the last podcast, we didn't spend too much time kind of analyzing stuff because it's so early in the series, you don't know which way it's going. And I think the storylines are starting to unfold now, but we're going to see which the next ones are. I mean, I think it was Bobby McGolf. I forget, he's got a hockey, Bobby McHockey now or something on Twitter, but you know, I think he said it pretty damn well after the game three. It's like the playoffs are when heroes are made. I mean, who's been a hero for the Flames after game three? You're sitting there like, okay, well, fucking, we're getting Joe Pavelski'd again. We all knew it was going to happen, and now it's happened. And now you're sitting down 2-1. Everybody's in full panic mode. Like, what was your level of panic after game three?
I don't even think
I was probably at an 8 out of 10. And when you get to that high level, it's like you start feeling apathetic. You're just like, I can't believe this is happening again. Like, fuck.
Yeah, like I was panicked. I was at about an 8 out of 10 as well until like the first period started coming around and they couldn't score. And then I was just like full 10 out of 10. I was just like, they can't fucking do it. The Toffoli save, I'm like, they can't do it. Johnny had a few chances, couldn't bury it. I'm just like, they cannot do this. So until Rasmus scored that goal, I was in full 10 out of 10 panic mode. I was ready to call it quits. I was just like, this is over. This is done. I cannot believe. That's what I kept saying to people. I was like, I can't believe this is happening once again. And
well, you know what? And maybe part of this is just our lack of experience.
Totally.
With playoff hockey, right? Because, like, isn't this what a series is all about? There's ups and downs. There's, like, oh, my God. There's, oh, my God. It's like, fucking.
Well, and the thing is, too, yeah, that's a great point. The experience thing, because there is usually ups and downs. But from what we've seen from the Flames, it's just been, like, in playoff series pass.
Meh.
It's been like, whoa, fuck, it's over. It's, like, it's just, like, holy shit, it's done. So, like, that's kind of where our experience is and what we tend to think we're going to have to go through, where it's like either they're going to sweep them or they're going to get swept type thing. It's just like dealing with a tie series and a close series is not something we've been used to, because you get swept by the Ducks, you get shit canned by Colorado, you get shit canned by Dallas. Those are your last three playoff experiences. So it's just kind of been, it hasn't really been a roller coaster. It's just been just like a doubt, like one of those things they drop you from, you know, those things, what are those called? Where you just free fall? Way up. Yeah. Free fall is freaking drop. That's what the emotional experience has been like. So having to handle a roller coaster has been really tough. And it's always heightened in the playoffs. Cause like when you win, you're freaking never going to lose again. When you lose, you're never going to when you win, you're never going to lose again. And when you lose, you're never going to win again. It's just like so heightened. And it's just like really hard to deal with.
I think we're onto something, because if you're in my age group, you're born in the 80s, the only playoff reference you have is 04 and anything that's come afterwards. And so you have 04, if that's your reference point, oh yeah, we were one of those magic teams that just fucking won every series. Okay, so that's what playoffs are. And then you never fucking get in again. And, you know, and the only times you do, like you said, we won one round, but other than that, you're getting swept or fucking reverse swept. It's just free fall. And, you know, so it's just like, okay, we're in an up and down, we're in an actual series here. So
like, and probably in an actual series, like, I mean, 2015 for sure, but that was a little bit different, but probably in an actual tight, close series since like 2006, because those years in the 2000s too, like it was kind of the same thing. They were getting shit canned. They had to play Detroit one year. Detroit killed them. They had to play San Jose. It was a little closer, still got killed. They played Chicago that year before, like the year before Chicago went on their dynasty run. So it's really been a lot of just like shit canning over the years.
Yeah. So I think that we just got to remind ourselves, hey, we're in the playoffs. We're playing in a series. We're still the better team. The series is tied. You lost two in a row, then you responded. If you can win two in a row, I know you threw out that stat last season or whenever it was. The team that wins two in a row typically wins the team that wins two in a row first typically wins the series, unless the other team can win two in a row, right?
Yeah.
And then they typically win. So this next fucking game is pivotal, man. But you would think that who knows what to expect, other than it's probably going to be a tight game. But you have the Flames, like you said on the last podcast, like they needed this. This is the game they needed. You've seen these other teams have it where they have like a big, big game, a little bit of a, wasn't a blowout, but you know, we actually got some few goals on the scoreboard. We got things cooking a little bit. They needed that, a convincing win.
Dude, they needed that in the worst way. And they needed that. Not only, I think, for their own confidence, which I think is of the utmost importance, but I think now that you've shown Dallas they have cracks, it's like,
yeah,
it's like, I think that's going to be in the Stars' head a little bit, because you saw what happened last night when the Flames got a two-goal lead. Dallas has to kind of open up a little bit from their like pure defensive, like, we're going to do nothing but wait for you to make a mistake. And then you realize they're not that good at defense. And it's like, you saw it, the floodgates kind of open for the Flames. So let's be honest, Ottinger's been unreal, but dude, like a lot of that is luck. A lot of the saves he made last night were just like, he doesn't make those saves 9 times out of 10.
Here's what I have to say about the Ottinger thing. He's not even playing that fucking great.
That's right.
Like, fuck off. All this, like the whole, are you kidding me? The Sportsnet, the CBC, the entire storyline of this series leading to the game has been, it's Ottinger. It's like, no, it's not. If you're a real Flames fan, you followed this team for the last 20 years or decent amount, you know that we get goalied by fucking rookies. It's not Ottinger. Sure, he's playing good. He's playing good to great. He's not playing Hasek level. He's not playing Jaguar level. Well, how many fucking Heidinger chances do we have before game four?
Yeah, like, this is exactly the point I was going to make next, because everyone's like, oh, look at his goal. His goal saved above expectations is the highest in the league. It's so high. It's like, that's a percentage thing, really. We had 3 high danger chances or something like that in the last game, and he stopped all 3 of them. So it's like the quantity is not there at all. And you saw what happened last night. When you actually start generating more chances, you can beat the guy.
Yeah, and see, I'm sitting there watching the game. Everybody's jerking fucking off, Ottinger off. And I'm just like, we're going to get past him. Like, look at the amount of traffic shot volume we're throwing at him, it's going to happen. He's not that fucking good. And sure enough, it was a matter of time. You get one through. That fucking penalty shot by Johnny. Because he's had a breakaway earlier on in the series. And you and look, what was it, three seasons ago or two seasons ago? How many breakaways did Johnny have? 30 and didn't score one of them because he tried going five hole every single time. And then in the offseason this year, he comes up with this fucking great over the shoulder snipe that works pretty much every time, but the angle has to be there. And it was a game, was it game three? Game three gets a breakaway
with like 3 minutes left.
And you know he's trying to get to that sweet spot, but he can't. So he tries to go low instead. And I'm sitting there because I remember back in the day when he was only going five hole. You're just like, hey, if he goes five hole, he's not going to score. And when he's coming down on that last one in game three, you're like, fuck, he can't get the angle. He's got a deke. Mm-hmm. If Johnny can't get that sweet spot down, he's got a deke. That's his next most dangerous move. And so when he had the penalty shot, I'm like, okay, fuck, just deke him. Deke him. How many goals has he scored on a breakaway this year, deking?
Dude, like, even in the shootout, every time he scores in the shootout, it's a deke.
He had, what, three overtime winners this year? Deeks. So he comes down, deeks, and that was like the most clutch breakaway deke I have seen in fucking my recent memory.
Yeah, and dude, like that is like to have the patience and the fortitude, because I mean he got rocked in that game too, like he was kind of woozy there. I was really worried, but yeah. that is a precision move. That is a move you can't do haphazardly or you look like a fucking tool. You do that and it misses and you look like a moron. Like, well, that five hole soft backhand shot, like that's got to be perfectly done, perfectly executed.
There's two ways to go down on a shootout. You can either know what you're going to do or not know. Let your instincts guide you. I think he had that planned out.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
But it was a good play because the last breakaway under seen on him, he tried to go below the blocker. So he fakes the below the blocker, and then he goes to deke as if he's going backhand, fakes that. So Ottinger totally fucking sells that he's going other side backhand, and then he slides a five hole. Like, that was gaping, dude.
Yeah. It was incredible.
But you're looking at, like, this is 10 years of playoff anxiety, playoff angst, playoff blame, all riding on Johnny. If he doesn't make that breakaway, and the Stars end up tying the game up, and now this somehow they squeak out a win, you're down 3-1. Like, you're talking about a fork on the road, right? You're
talking, yeah, that was seriously, and that's why I said, like, the emotion that was like for me to like cry or some shit was that what was weighing on it. I was like sitting there going, like, he has to score this goal or it's done. And it's done in more than just like this series might be done. It might be this is it for Johnny Gaudreau. It might be this is it for the Calgary Flames as we like. Seriously, like, yeah. You said, 10 years of shit, of baggage baked into one moment. Like, it was big. Like, if you're watching that fan, if you're watching that as a casual fan, you don't realize how unbelievable, how much pressure was on Johnny to score that goal.
And didn't he have, was it a breakaway or a penalty shot?
He had one. Colorado. Yeah, he had one in game five against Colorado that he totally fucked up.
So, and it was funny because out of any goal I've seen all year, that was the loudest that I've fucking yelled or screamed when we scored. And I know you did too. And then looking on Twitter after the game, that was the common theme. So I think even collectively, you know, people, whether it's conscious or unconscious, they kind of tuned into how fucking massive that goal was, not even just for the Flames, but for Johnny.
Well, dude, that was the best game. That was the best playoff game I think the Flames have played since, what, 2015? Easily. And it was the best playoff game I think Johnny Gaudreau has played in since 2015.
Dude, I can barely even remember the games.
No, me. I know. I just remember
a couple highlights. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I'll never forget Furlan, but that was epic. But okay. Oh. I don't even know what tangent we were on there.
But I don't know. Like, it's just like that cathartic moment. Like, there's a lot of work yet to do, but like, I mean, that feels like you were saying last, that feels like a threshold. Like, and that was the thing. Like, I was just like going crazy last game and this game. It's like, I think if Johnny could just fucking get one and just like, cause I don't know if it's in his head. He seems to be pretty good with this. Daryl knows how to push his buttons. Daryl says after game three, the morning of game four, I think it was. There might not have been the morning, but it was the game day skate or the practice between the games. Daryl says, I'd rather have a guy who scores a big goal than a guy who scores 40 goals.
And just, you love his face when he just say,
hey. Yeah.
Like, he's like, I told you, motherfuckers. That's like the face he's got.
And he's saying it like, you don't think I'm going to call out my star player in a playoff series, do you? He's just I am.
And he even called Johnny out too, eh, when they asked him about the last breakaway he had. And he says, oh, that's what he's paid to do.
Yeah, it's like, that's his job.
That's his job.
And so everybody's kind of like, ooh. Yeah, like, ooh. It's like, no, Daryl's been doing that all. He's been doing that since he got here. Like, is this 500th game? And he's like, hey, fucking better be good. He sucked last game.
Yeah, that was epic.
Incredible.
I don't know if you saw this or not, but after the post game on the national broadcast, somehow my feed cut over to the American broadcast where Bissonnette and his,
is way better. This is the interview with Johnny, right?
Yeah. And Bissonnette asked him, hey, did Sutter give you an attaboy when you got back to the bench after the scoring that clutch goal? Johnny smiles. Nope, not a word. But like, you know, and they're kind of making a thing out of it. But you know that Johnny and both Johnny and Guy fucking love Sutter. They think it's the fucking match made in heaven. Johnny wouldn't have it any other way. And even Guy said, before, like when him and his wife were there for Johnny's 100th point and there was just a Gaudreau love fest, they asked Guy about the whole Daryl coaching relationship. And he said, you know what? As soon as it was announced, I knew it was going to be a fucking great fit for Johnny because Daryl communicates and his style of coaching is just the same as Guy is. And that's how he brought up Johnny. And fuck, it has been a great relationship.
Yeah, and just like for that to translate, and again, like we'll talk about some of the lineup adjustments in Stone and stuff in a minute, but that's the thing that's been most impressive to me about Daryl Sutter this year. Like, I think I was just expecting him to be like a master tactical guy, but like the way he can push buttons and get guys going and is just freaking incredible, man.
Yeah.
No, like, do you think Jeff Ward has the ball sack if Johnny missed a breakaway to be like, no, he's got to bear that?
Nope.
I don't want a guy who scores 40 on a guy who scores a big goal.
And like, if he does do it, he doesn't do it the right way. He doesn't have the proper rapport, right? It's going to be some passive aggressive thing where fucking Sam Bennett's like, I don't know what's going on. Is it mind games? I'm in the press box. No one said anything to me though.
No idea why. So I don't know. That's just like, that's exactly the kind of game. And like, dude, like I said, I was worried because they were playing great and had all kinds of chances and couldn't freaking score. And I was worried it was going to be, all that was going through my head was like, okay, this is why you can't give them away freebies like you did, I think, in game two specifically and game three, because I was like, now Ottinger is going to steal a game. You haven't used that punch card yet. And I was feeling like he's going to steal it tonight. And they kept going and going and going, and they scored a clutch power play goal. Like, it's unbelievable to me that the team that, what do they have, like 285 goals this year, one of the best five, probably the best 5-on-5 offensive team in the league, and they needed a freaking 5-on-3 and a penalty shot to finally break through. It's just like, playoffs are a different beast.
I wasn't even that impressed by his glove save on Toffoli.
Dude, Toffoli shot the right in his fucking glove.
Well, that's my point, is this like, and look, I mean, it's playoffs. You don't have much time. So I'm not really blaming on Toffoli. But if you or I are in that goaltender position and we're making the same diving motion, he's going to shoot in our glove too. Like, it's not like, sure, it's a desperation save and it looks nice.
Oh.
But Toffoli shoots it directly into the glove. Like that glove save Markstrom made,
dude,
in game three before Dallas scored 10 seconds later, nullified it completely. That was unbelievable. because he had to actually come down and take away and actually make and actually react where the puck was going. So I don't know, man. This whole Andre thing is just like, I don't buy it.
Way over, totally. It's way overblown.
And it's just like, do your fucking jobs. That's not the actual storyline here. Like, come on. No,
I know. And if you've watched the games, right? Like you said, how many high danger chances? And it game three was some Glenn Gulson shit to me, where it's like, sure, the shot metrics favored the Flames. It was like, oh, we can't buy a goal. Like, if you watch that game, there were no there was no traffic. There was very little sustained pressure. There weren't rebounds. There weren't long periods of offensive zone time for the Flames. Like, Ottinger pretty much saw everything. Everything he stopped, he saw. They weren't generating offense like the Flames have generated offense a lot this year, like they did last night. So, like, as it's totally been overblown that he's just been like this fucking godly. He's been good. I think Markstrom's been just as good. I think Markstrom made bigger saves last night. So it's way overblown. And I'm glad the Flames freaking buried a few on him and showed that he's human to the rest of the freaking world. Because, like, and again, I have the Dallas goalies in fantasy this year. I know what they do. They fucking dip all the time. So I'm expecting the Flames to, you know, get back to their normal scoring selves here over the next few games.
Okay, let's back things up to game three. Let's just kind of go through this a bit because you have the absolute stinker in game two. And you're anticipating a response. We get the response in game four. You would love to see that response in game three. Game three, they played. Game three was a pretty good game, but it was still frustrating because you had the lead, then you lost it, and you got Joe Pavelski'd. And then you're just sitting there like, well, where's our fucking gamers, right?
Yeah.
But game three, you have, and like, thank God game four, there was only one or two 4-on-4s? Like, those are getting fucking annoying.
Well, and Daryl talked to the supervisor of the series after game three, saying, what is with this 4-on-4 bullshit? Like, I've never seen that. Like, what happened to offsetting minor penalties? Like, that's not a thing anymore? Where you just take two guys and play 5-on-5? It's absurd.
No, I think the league has changed that because they want to create more offense. They think 4-on-4 will create more offense.
Oh, yeah. Great idea, guys.
Yeah, real great idea.
Ridiculous.
But game three, 4-on-4, the first goal of the Stars, and it's back and loses the fucking draw. And Foxa tips it in. These pretty much all the Dallas goals are just traffic shots from the point with traffic in front. Like, they're such a greasy fucking team, eh? I wonder if they like playing this way. Like, it is a boring style. It can be effective, but you're not generating a ton of offense, right? And they are getting some goals, like the Foxa goals tip in front. Both Pavelski goals are just kind of greasy rebounds free in front. So it's just, it's been working for them. They got two wins out of the series. But like you said, we opened the floodgates a bit last night. So we'll see what happens next game. But you're down one in game three. And then that fourth line, dude.
Dude, Trevor Lewis has been like,
dude.
Fuck,
dude. Our best player?
He's been our best player. Like, until Johnny went beast mode last night, like, Trevor Lewis had been our best player through three games. And he was great again last night. And I mean, the fourth line, I think they got caved in game two. But Trevor Lewis has been so solid. Every time he's on the ice, it's just ridiculous how much I love that guy right now.
How great has Lucic been?
Lucic has been phenomenal, other than that one screw up in game two, which was more Hanifin's fault. But like, dude, I can't believe how, like Daryl said, you know, like, Lewis is here for the playoffs, right? Because we've all been like this year. I don't think we've all been like, oh man, Trevor Lewis has really been good tonight. Down the stretch, he was awesome. In the first, in this playoff series, he has been phenomenal. He's wins, draws. He just does everything right. It's ridiculous, dude, how
he's
solid
like,
he is.
He's just like the most simple player, just does all the little tiny simple things. He's like, I'm not ever going to try and do anything that's not simple. Right? It's just like, I'm never going to try and beat a guy 1-1. I'm just never going to do it.
He makes the right play every time the puck's on his stick.
That goal is interesting because on the last podcast, we're talking about you're going to have to get greasy on these guys. Like, and it's going to be the same thing in game five. You got to keep getting greasy. I want to see Dubé getting his nose dirty. Mangiapane. These guys are built for this stuff. Mangiapane just needs to focus on battling in front while the play is happening. Not wait till the whistle blows and then you start battling, bro. Just get it done in front of the net. He should be fucking scoring goals the way Pavelski is. But that goal, Lucic is banging, and it's just, that's so greasy. It's so, you'd love to see it. I did shit my pants when they announced. Like, I'm watching, I'm like, how the fuck are they going to call this off?
I thought it was coming back. Like, I was convinced.
Well, I'm looking at the play. I'm like, there's no fucking way this is goaltender interference. But that didn't convince me because we're the Calgary Flames. I guess now that we traded away Sam Bennett, as long as it wasn't Sam Bennett, it's not getting called back.
Well, that's why I was convinced. I was like, absolutely, this is coming back. What else do you expect? A Flames playoff goal being reviewed? It's coming back. No chance.
Exactly. But A, Ottinger's outside of his blue paint. It's like, at what point does it cross the line? If Ottinger's on the blue line and he gets bumped into because he's out there, does it goaltender interference? So, like, he's outside of his crease where the contact happens. And if you look on the replay, it's his blocker and his glove reaching on to Lucic that creates the contact, not the other way around. And then the guy had fucking plenty of time to
yeah, at what point does it impede his ability to make the save? So
thank God they made the right fucking call for once in their lives.
It's a fucking miracle, dude.
And then that Lindholm goal from Johnny. Even Chucky behind the net, he knows how to tie the guy up so that Johnny can pick it up because he knows Lindholm's all alone. Right off the post, and you're like, that's how you beat this fucking guy. Just off the post and in.
Just blasted high. Lindy did it again last night, off the post and in.
So when the game's 2-1 in game three, we're feeling pretty good, right? You're just like, okay, fucking, here we go.
Just close it down. You haven't, like, they've lost, like, what, one game? When were they leading? After two? Were they leading after two? Or was it tied? I don't remember.
I think they tied it up in the second.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, this team has been pretty good at closing down games. So,
yeah. But even in game three, game four was hands down their best game. Obviously, they win, but across the board, they played their best game of the playoffs. In game three, they weren't playing that way, even though they get the lead. But they just didn't have the wherewithal to keep pushing, right? And then that goal by Joe Pavelski, dude, the first one, where this guy is fucking good. He's so dangerous. You have to be so aware when he's in front of the net. And even then, you're still kind of fucked because he knows, like, he just knows how to find the open spot.
Oh, and he's one of the best tip, like, deflection players in the entire world.
So Pavelski's sitting in front of the net. The puck goes to the point. And then he reads the rebound trajectory where it's probably going to go. And he times the shot perfectly. And so he pushes off, was it Yarncroc?
Yeah, or it might have been Hanifin. I know Yarncroc was in the slot with him, though, and missed his.
I think it was. But anyways, he's pushing off the guy while the shot's coming so that he can position himself so that he has a fucking all alone in front. Sure enough, rebound goes right to him. Great goal. And then he gets the power play rebound shot pass from Robertson, which is a set play.
Yeah.
I mean, Robertson's not trying to score. He's trying to shoot for rebound. And sure enough, that little fucker, Joe Pavelski, gets another wide open net, just tap in. But he greases it up to get those tap ins. So he deserves them. But fuck. And then that was rough, man. We couldn't tie it up. Did we
press pretty good in the third period? They had 8 high danger scoring chances in all situations, and of course Johnny had the breakaway. Couldn't make it happen.
Yeah. And then we did discuss the state of mind afterwards, but what about Daryl and the players? Because I know we mentioned this, you and I were just chatting. Because you're listening to the players after game three. You're down 2-1 against what? You're the second seed. You're playing the seventh for all intents and purposes. And the players and the coach are just like, yeah, no, so we expected. Everything's fine. And we're really confident here. And as a fan, you're just like, Stockholm Syndrome is just like creating a fucking melting pot in your brain. You're just like, fucking, what are you talking about? Because it was, which coach was it who just reamed out his players after the game? And it was the LA coach, right?
McClellan, yeah.
McClellan, like he was fucking angry after game three. And then the Kings, fuck, they looked good in game four. So you're kind of like, well, shouldn't we be doing that? And you're just like, no, we expected this.
You expected to lose two games to one of the worst teams in the playoffs?
So, I mean, but there you go. There's your response game, game four. What do you think is going to happen game five?
Well, I said after game two, there was going to be a response to game three. They're going to come out flying. I think the fact they, like, dude, they looked like, that was, what, they have the most shots ever in a playoff game that didn't go to overtime?
Yeah.
That was like right out of when they were on that absolute tear in February where they were destroying everybody. Remember when they killed St. Louis and had like 70 shots or something crazy? Like they were out shooting them like 30-3 in the second period. That was like one of those games. So I think for me, it was really important for the Flames to have a like a floodgate type game last night. And you scored three goals. It's not necessarily the floodgates, but I think you just saw them kind of chip into Dallas's mind a little bit more.
Yeah.
And like now it's just like Dallas knows like the margin for error for them, if they want to beat Calgary two more times, is literally zero. And they have to rely heavily on Ottinger. So if the Flames just do it, and I thought the adjustment, like they did, they really adjusted well. Like they were getting pucks finally through the neutral zone. They had that one shift in the O-zone for like, it was like a 5 minute shift. What they weren't doing in games one, two, and three. They were finally fucking dictating play and playing their game rather than just kind of like being down in the mud, playing Dallas's game. If they just play their game, it's like we said, if they play their game and they dictate play, they're going to kill them. That's what they did last night.
That was a 4 minute shift and then they ice it. And then Robertson,
the fucking soft ass dive.
Robertson is call. So tired he fucking falls over his own feet, and Mangiapane gets a tripping penalty.
Yeah, absurd. The officiating.
Hey, that was the best it's been because they didn't call 30 penalties. I think you're right. You're looking after that game four. My biggest, if you're trying to predict what happens in game five, the Flames have to repeat, and they have to repeat probably at least 80% of that. They can't go any below that because they got to keep pushing. They have to dictate for the rest of the series now. Like
they have to kill them. They have to have their heel on their throat, and this is it.
Yeah, and they got to realize that it's 5-on-5. The reason why you dominated that game the way you did is you played most of it 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. And that's the bread and butter. But I think you're right. I think you just – the Dallas weaknesses were finally exposed, and I look at that as just kind of – it's kind of like it was a Wizard of Oz effect.
Yeah, totally. Night, very well put.
Where you finally get to see, no, they're not actually that good. It's a bit of a facade. They're hiding behind this fucking trap. And Ottinger makes it look like he's the fucking wizard, but really, he's just a fucking good goalie. That's it. So that's why you got to keep dictating. You can't let Dallas dictate shit. And that first goal is fucking huge. So, I mean, they got to come out ready. Use the crowd's energy not to get excited, but to dial you in and fucking execute your game. That's what you got to do. But I don't know. Game five is pivotal. So game five is now more important than game four was. You now have them by the balls. You cannot let go.
You have to have that killer instinct. You've got to come out and absolutely kill them tomorrow.
Speaking of balls.
Support for In the Dome is brought to you by Manscaped. They're sponsoring our first round coverage of the Dallas Flames series. Manscaped is the best in below the waist men's grooming. Their products are precision engineered tools for your family jewels. You want to look like Erica Branson. You don't want to look like Connor McDavid. So take care of yourself. Go to manscaped.com. And get 20% off and free shipping with the code DOME. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code DOME, DOME at manscaped.com. Hockeypodcast.com.
I stand before you with dry balls, Your Honor. Still, my balls remain dry.
All right, what did you think of Sutter's mindfuckery? Because you called it, man. You called that on Instagram. You're like, he's probably just fucking with
him. Well, at first I was freaked out. I was like, what is he doing?
And then just to clarify, if you weren't on social media following this, in the pregame skate, Daryl has Richie on the second line, and he flips Richie and Mangiapane. So Mangiapane is on the fourth line, Richie's on the second line. And my initial thing is like, okay, we've seen Richie in the top six. He's been the solution for the past fucking infinity. And I'm just like, it's never worked before. It's never going to work again. What is going on? People are losing their shit. Other people are trying to calm people down. It's like this big thing. And you're kind of like, why would you do this? You put all the metrics. You're like, and then what did you say? You're like, fucking, I think he's probably fucking.
It's like he's trolling with everybody. He's trolling. He's done this before. He's done this before this season where he's like done weird shit to the Lions. And then game time, the Lions are back to normal.
Dude, this is some fucking gamesmanship because I've never seen this. The only thing I've seen is, like, I know coaches do similar things, but it's usually the goaltender, right? They won't disclose who the goaltender is starting. But it's just like, okay, this is pretty random. You flip Richie and Mangiapane, but his end game is even greater, isn't it? Because somebody
said to me, like, do you think Stone's coming in? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if that's the adjustment that needs to be made.
Who the fuck called that?
And boy, was it the adjustment that needed to be made.
Well, so that's pregame. Everybody's in a fucking
tizzy.
A tizzy. And then in the warmups, oh no, the Lions are back to normal. It's Mangiapane back on the second, and then Richie's back on the fourth. Ha ha ha. Daryl was fucking with everybody. And then for puck drop, holy shit. No, now they have 7D. Stone's in, Richie's out.
And for the face off,
oh my God, dude. Kid, this is a whole nother fucking. This to me was the highlight of the night. This is the highlight of the series thus far. And I will preface by saying, what coach have we seen in the last decade that would have fucking done this? Maybe there was Mike Keating coaching within the last decade.
Might be past a decade, but 12,
maybe, 12, 13. Maybe Hartley does this, but Hartley would have said, get a penalty and fight him. Lucic faces off with Ben, and I guess we should get to the comments, right? Because I didn't hear these until pregame. Did you?
I heard them. When did Ben say it? After the game? Because I heard it. Yes, I heard it on Monday, which was yesterday.
Or it could have been in between. It could have been on the off day. But anyway, so Ben is sitting with the Stars media, and I guess he was mic'd up. He was mic'd up for that. Who's miking guys up for a playoff game? That's kind of weird, isn't it? If it was a playoff game and like, yo, we want to mic you up, I'm like, fuck off, man. I'm playing hockey. Like, get out of here.
It's the most intense time of the freaking year.
But so anyways, he's mic'd up and you can hear him fucking beaking Chuck. He's like, Maddie, I'm ready to go whenever you want. Trying to fight him, right? And then they had to show that clip, and then they cut to him on the podium, and they ask him, so were you surprised that Matthew Tkachuk declined, you know, your offer to fight? And he said, no. And they said, why not? And he, you know, gets a real fucking stupid look on his face. He says, because he's a smart guy. So Ben's sitting up there just talking shit, talking shit. Just like Klingberg. Talking shit. Throw him a fucking sardine, eh?
Give it to me raw.
Gives it to me. So then, I did not see this coming, dude. Fourth line, I'm sitting there like, okay, fourth line starting. Okay. Lucic takes the face off against Jamie Benn. Doesn't look at the ref, doesn't look at the puck, looks directly into Ben's soul. Says, I'm going to fucking murder you now. Are you ready? Are you ready to get murdered? Fuck, did Ben look scared, eh?
Wonder why he didn't fight Lucic, because he's a smart kid too, I guess.
Maybe hey? He's smarter than Matthew is.
And then I think the best part of all of this is they asked Daryl about this postgame. Do you hear this?
They did?
Yeah.
Fuck, no, I missed that. What do you say?
Daryl goes, look at his time in Boston, took tons of face-offs. Played with a right-handed centerman, he took lots of face-offs.
Oh, fuck, man, that's amazing.
Unbelievable. I
mean, look, the thing about the Lucic thing, I would love to, why didn't they have Ben mic'd up for this game?
Right. I would give any amount of money to know what Lucic is saying.
I want that conversation. Like, but Ben looks like he can't even look at him. People on Twitter afterwards, like, he can't even look him in the eye. He looked down at his skates pretty quick. And then Lucic follows him around. That to me was the greatest thing. Just like, no, it wasn't even just like a little communication at the center dot. It was, no, I'm going to follow you around, motherfucker. And he's just like in his face. Lucic doesn't give a fuck what's happening on the ice at the moment. Like, have you, dude, that was like message sending fucking 101.
Well, and I think it's such a good play by Daryl too, because I think when Tkachuk fought Klingberg, I know I was pissed off. I was like, fuck Chuck, you got to chill out a bit, bud. But then you hear Daryl, like what he said to Francis after game one is like, I want Tkachuk involved. It's like, Daryl wasn't like, yo, Matt, chill out.
Yep.
But he didn't want the Stars players goading him into penalties and shit, or him having to deal with that as a star player, as a 40 goal scorer. So instead of being like, hey, Matthew, just stay out of everything, he's like, fuck you, Dallas. You want to play? You want to try and do this? You want to try and get my star player off his game? Fuck you.
Well, and honestly, dude, before game four starts, you're like, okay, I'm getting real fucking sick of Rasmus Anderson and Matthew Tkachuk trying to start shit between whistles.
Yeah.
Get it fucking done during the play. When you have a control of the series and then you can fucking mess with them. Whatever you're doing isn't working. Just fucking play hockey. Matthew Tkachuk, you had fucking 40 goals and 100 points. We need some of that right now, bro. We don't need your fucking shenanigans at the moment. So, I think you're right. That move totally trumped all the bullshit that was fucking getting us distracted.
Hey, folks, just got to fit in a word from our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. So the playoffs are going on, and DraftKings has an unreal offer for the most exciting playoffs in all of sports, as long as you discount Game 2 of the Dallas Calgary Series. New customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. DraftKings is really easy to use. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN, bet $5 on any NHL team to win, and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That code is THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. And how good is Lucic?
Man. Oh, my God, dude. Every time when I'm watching the game and the puck goes in the Dallas Stars end, and you see Lucic skating into the zone, you're just like, holy fuck, someone's about to get murdered. Dude, I have never in my life. Okay, when the day they traded Neil for Lucic, did you ever foresee us feeling this specific way right now?
Dude, the day they traded for Lucic, could you imagine 4 years, 3 years down the road, they're in the Pacific Division winners, and we're like, holy fuck, with Lucic was awesome in this series. He's been one of our best forwards. Not a chance.
Like that opening faceoff to me, that sets the tone for the entire game. And it lasted. That tone lasted for the entire game. We'll see if Dallas has a response to that. Isn't Ben their biggest tough guy?
Well, Ben is a fucker too. Like, he got fined for slashing Lewis today, I think. This is his second fine of the series. Like, I didn't even see that shit with Mangiapane until they showed it last night. Did you?
No.
Like, what the fuck is that? I've never seen a guy do that. Exactly. Who does that?
Mangiapane is getting basically jumped on from behind and his face is pushing the net. And then Ben comes and sticks him in the face through the net while he has a guy laying on top of him. What a fucking
loser.
Is
the same. This is the same guy who speared Matthew, who not only concussed Matthew Tkachuk in 2020, but speared him in the ball sack, and everybody thought it was fucking hilarious.
Throwing out slew foots like it's fucking.
He had another slew foot last night.
At least it was called.
It's like unbelievable. Dude, this guy.
And he tried it again later. Can he make? Is he capable of making a hit without fucking kicking the guy's legs out from behind while he's doing it? I'm curious.
So,
real, real tough.
Yeah, like what a bitch. And it's just, it's phenomenal to me that Daryl realizes these things. Right. Because a lot of the time, right, like you get slew foot, you do that, yeah. you get away with that shit a lot of other times if you're Jamie Benn, right?
Yeah. He should do the exact same thing fucking game five, don't you?
Totally. I totally agree.
Line up again. Hey, bitch, you're going to go this time? You ready? Could you imagine?
Can you imagine
game five at the dome starts at center right?
Center ice taking the draw.
Manhandling Ben for fucking 30 seconds.
Dude, the place would blow. That place would literally collapse itself.
that would demolish the saddle. They could save themselves.
Finally do it.
Unfortunately, there'd be, 20,000 dead bodies inside, but that's one way to demolish the dome.
The structural foundations are not strong enough to hold what would happen if Lucic beat the fuck out of Jamie Benn at center ice.
So, yes, fucking unbelievable coaching. And it's just like before the game, well, after game three, you're telling me, and I know you can post it, you're like, I think Sutter might be getting out coached here.
Yep.
How do you feel after game four?
Well, I mean, I said that because of the adjustments Bonus made, put Bennett center. I thought
go ahead.
Well, I thought he did a good job because that's the thing that was the Flames weren't able to break through the trap once this like at all in games. Well, a little bit in game three, but games one and two, it was just like, fuck, they can't even get through the neutral zone. And I thought Bonus made some good adjustments on the top line. They couldn't get those nice looks they were looking for usually in the high slot with Lindholm. So I was like, shit, Daryl's got to do something here.
Did you see Bonus's post game? No, seriously, did you see it?
No, I didn't.
This is where I feel like the Wizard of Oz thing is being exposed, dude.
Dude, they're such a rinky-dink team. And that's, again, why game two and three were so freaking frustrating. Did we say this last time? It's like, these guys suck. They're not even good. We should be killing them.
Well, but we did say Ottinger and Pavelski were,
yeah, I guess,
were capable of winning fucking two games at least. Yeah. But Bonus after last game, dude, he was fucking scrambling. He had no fucking answer for what just happened.
Pulling a Jeff Ward, eh?
And he ended up blaming it on the players, dude. Seriously. So I don't know, man. He seemed beat to me. We'll see if he has a response. But like, what's he gonna do?
Well, dude, and like the 7D, like,
my God, when have you ever seen this mood?
No. When they announced it, I was like, what the fuck? Why are they doing that? And then Daryl's just like, yeah, he explains it perfectly. And then it worked out perfectly. He's like, yeah, the D were tired from all the 4-on-4. Some guys played a lot, especially in the game where Rask got kicked out in the first period. Some guys were tired. And then, I mean, even having Stone, because there was a lot of fans who were like, should Stone come on the power play? I was like, I don't know. I don't know if that helps. Motherfucker had 8 shots in 10 minutes on the
Dude, how effective is he in the offensive end? It's ridiculous.
Fucking blasting it.
And then he's another monster body, too, in the defensive end. As long as he's in the corners battling, he's effective. It's when he gets positionally, especially if him and Backlund on the ice together, then it can get hairy. But listen, he played a great game.
I think he led the team, and he didn't play a ton, but he had 8 shots in 10 minutes and had, I think he had the highest possession percentage on the team last night. Who is this guy?
Seriously, man, that's mad props, eh?
That's unbelievable to just come in. Biggest game of the friggin', like, this is the biggest game the Flames have played in 20 years. Just come in, be solid, 8 shots. Unreal.
Might have injured somebody too, eh?
Dude, he blasted that thing so hard. He's the reason that the Foley chance happened. Freaking cannons it. The guy's like, oh, shit. He cannons it again. But mad props. And I like the 11 forwards thing.
Yeah, it worked out well.
I went to go check and I couldn't really find much. I kind of think Daryl did this in 2004 a little bit. But the reason I like it is because it's just like next man up shit. Like there's a few shifts Yarncroc took, like Dubé and Yarncroc with Johnny. Wow. It just it gets the flow going a little bit. It kind of gets everyone more involved that you really need right now.
If your lines are getting a little bit stale in the scoring department and you want to make some changes, is there any better way than to have just fucking 12 forwards and you can do whatever the fuck you want all game?
Yeah, like I don't think it's a solution all the time, but I mean, I think it
Sorry,
worked 11. Really well last night.
11, not 12, but yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. That worked fucking brilliantly, dude. Brilliantly. So the first goal of the game is 5-on-3. So that's officially our second 5-on-3 goal of all time, right?
Might be the first, actually.
I think we scored one in the season. We were saying that. So
I didn't think there. I was holy shit. They had to score on that. Again, dude, where they had to score tonight. Last night, they did. Holy cow.
The power play has been so bad. Just this series,
terrible.
That you're just like, fuck, here comes a power play. No, fuck, here comes a 5-on-3. Watch Dallas win the game after they kill this off. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, man. I feel like that went off the leg. Did Rasmus Anderson snipe that top corner? I kind of feel like he didn't.
Yeah, I don't think so. I saw a couple angles where, like, that's a good shot. But then I saw another couple other where it looked like it kind of maybe. I don't think that goes in 10 times out of 10.
Yeah. But regardless, you get it done. And I mean, hey, we were due for a little bit of luck, were we not? If that
dude, actually we hit. That's the other somebody. Thing with Andre. What did they hit? 2 posts in game 3? Lots of posts. Lots of, like, there were so many chances that I don't even think Andre, like, it was just dumb luck, honestly. Like, Shillington has this chance where he, like, freaking dangles everybody, roofs it, and it, like, somehow hits his shoulder, and then the rebound's sitting right there, and it doesn't go in. So, yeah, we were due for some luck. We had, like, the worst shooting percentage and the worst PDO in the entire league through 3 games.
Well, before that, we're taking it to him for most of the game, too. You're like, holy fuck. Yeah, because, like you said, is Andre actually going to steal a game now? Yeah. You get one in there. The penalty shot, look, it's a soft – it's a soft call, but it is a penalty. We've seen it all year. Yeah.
It's soft, but relative. I'm surprised they call it a penalty shot, but relative to what has been called.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a penalty.
Yeah.
You reach in there, even if it's one hand, you corkscrew the hands while he's shooting. I don't think he was going to shoot anyways, but it worked out well. But like we already talked about how fucking massive that was.
And that's a huge play by Johnny because he gets that and it's 1-on-2 and he burst through the D. Like
that was sweet.
That was fucking amazing. He was doing that all night, and that's kind of what we were talking about. He wasn't really doing it in game 1 and 2, where it's like, that's Johnny Gaudreau, right? He's like, oh, I got a step, I'm going to beat you, I'm taking this to the net. And he was kind of a little shy about doing that in games 1 and 2.
It was interesting because I was watching the game with my bro and my mom and my dad, and in the first period when Johnny gets clocked, which was kind of weird, like I didn't see any slow-mo replay, but when you're watching the replays, you can't even really tell if it was head contact or not.
It didn't really look like it from the regular angle. It looked like he just got his bell rung.
Yeah.
But then on the reverse angle, this was like, okay, maybe the shoulder came up a little bit. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Honestly, to me, it looked like he got his bell rung. And I don't know if there was a point. I haven't looked at it since last night. I don't know if there was any head contact. There might have been some incidental. I still don't like the hit as a blindside hit, but it probably should have been called like interference more than headshot.
It is targeting a star player.
Yeah.
Which I'm not against in the playoffs. But if it is, I don't know. But regardless, I'm watching the game when my bro says maybe that'll wake him up.
Oh, shit, eh?
Kind of it fucking did. Because from that moment on, when he returned, he was just fucking lights out.
Dude, he was lights out. He led all skaters last night with 11 shot attempts. He led all skaters in scoring chances with 9, and he led all skaters in high danger scoring chances with 5. Best player on the ice last night.
Dude, that was peak regular season Johnny.
Yeah.
Right there.
Totally. And that, absolutely. Like how many? He had 3. Not breakaways, but where he was in all alone. He was making shit happen.
And if he did get his bell rung, hopefully he can keep his short-term memory, because he's got to remember how he fucking pulled that off. Like, whatever you did there, Johnny, that's it. That's how you got to keep playing in the playoffs. So he figured it out last night. Let's hope we can keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like that, the third goal, like you said, it opened up a bit. Soon as fucking you see
you're like,
play go down to the halfboards, it's like, oh, fuck, it's going to Johnny. And there's like nobody in the slot. And there's Lindholm. They're like, oh, fuck, here we go. Bing, off the post again.
Well, and the D was stupid. And again, getting Stone in there, the D was way more active last night than they have been in the previous three games, which, like, I think that's a key to a lot of their possession and offensive zone time. Like, they were way more active. They weren't backing off as much.
I had a real big issue with Backlund's penalty. What is it? 8 minutes left. You just went up 3-0. That's a fucking nail in the coffin. You got the game in your hand. Now just shut it down. And then Backlund just goes into the corner. There's throws a flying elbow.
Dude, last night was a Michael Backlund game for all time. I've said this before. It's like his inconsistency is even in games. Like, yeah. shift to shift. And again, like, his numbers were great last night. I think he had some awesome defensive shifts last night. And then he goes and takes like two more on penalties.
I'm just not sure what goes on inside of your brain to be like, hey, this is a good idea to do this right now. Or is the brain completely shut off? Because that would make sense too when you're watching back on a game-to-game basis. But I've really had a fucking problem with that. And for a guy that gets on my nerves a lot, like, that didn't help. You're up 3-0. You have the stars.
Got them back in the game, dude.
You have the stars by the balls. The crowd is sitting there silent with towels over their fucking heads. The only people making noise is Brady Tkachuk and fucking Keith.
Keith, mixing a workout, bud. Get on the treadmill.
Keith, look like you're going to fall over standing
up. Holy smokes. Mix
in a salad, bro.
Yeah, like, geez, bud.
How great is it to see that family in the stands?
Dude, I fucking love it so much.
My mom's like, why isn't Brady wearing a Flames jersey? I'm like, are you kidding? You can't wear a fucking Flames jersey.
He's got a Flames shirt, and it's like, he's got that Tkachuk friendship shirt on. Yeah, and that's pushing it.
That's pushing it. Have you ever seen this before?
Nope.
Like, you're telling me that if Daniel Sedin and Henrik, if fucking one was in the stands for one game, he'd be wearing a fucking t-shirt of his brother? Like,
can you imagine Brandon Tanev or Mark Stone in the stands?
Yeah, where's Mark Stone?
Where's Mark cheering us on?
Where are these guys? Huh? I don't see them wearing fucking red in the stands cheering. Hey. It was good to see Keith actually cheer for once.
Woke him up.
Well, he did have a red shirt on, but
underneath.
But I did see it earlier when he was in the concourse. And
underneath that XXL, whatever he's got on there, bud.
How many X's is that shirt?
There's at least two.
This is like the jelly bean game. I'm guess how many X's the shirt is. I don't want to make fun of Keith. I love the guy. Because I love the family. But if fucking you let that motherfucker sign somewhere else, Keith, coming for you.
Yeah, you're dead.
So, but Backlund doesn't get the lesson on the first one, hey?
No, he didn't get the... Of course, he never learned his lesson.
I mean, the second penalty was not necessarily a dumb penalty, just a bad penalty. I just don't understand, like... You got the game in hand. The game plan now is to shut it down. You frustrate them the way they frustrated you. You get in their heads even more.
Just make smart plays.
And then you go into the corner, and instead of just hitting a guy, you fucking lead with your elbow up into his face.
Like, and that's the sort of stuff that you always worry. Yeah, exactly. They score. Like, if that's a 2-1 game or 1-0 game, or you're behind, like, those kind of plays can happen in the playoffs.
Well, wasn't there like 7 minutes left still?
Yeah, there's tons of time. And they get that one and you're like, shit.
Now it's a 2-goal game with fucking
5 minutes, 6 minutes.
Like, give me a fucking break, you dummy.
Can't do
that. And then he gets another penalty. Fuck.
Can't do it.
So, but regardless, but I, even though I think Daryl already,
I mean, knows, he was better in faceoffs, but the rest of the night, like, yeesh, I don't know. I wasn't, I know everybody was like, oh, Backlund, his numbers were great. And again, like, I thought he had a few really good defensive shifts, but man, those play, those kind of plays in playoffs can kill you down the road.
Yeah, he's got to smarten it up. Yeah. Hopefully Daryl's going to have a fucking talking to him. Yeah. All right. Anything else from the game you want to wrap up with?
Well, Dubé crushed Robertson, which I freaking loved.
Oh, yeah, that was epic, dude.
I thought Dubé had an underrated pretty good night.
Yep.
I think the only thing is, like, the, we got to get some secondary scoring here. It's like, hey, boy, big boys are going now. Now it's time for – we need next game five, we need a Mangiapane goal. We need a Coleman goal. We need anybody but Gaudreau or Lindholm goal.
Dubé. Dubé goal.
Be nice if Tkachuk scored.
How about Yarncroc? Could you fucking get one?
Dude, he has no goals as a Flame. That's, and I thought pathetic. I thought Toffoli had a, I was pretty pissed at him, I got to be honest, for not burying that. But I thought he was a lot better than he was in game three.
He had a few good looks, eh?
Yeah.
So Markey is the Vezina finalist officially.
Okay, I know we've been going off, jerking Johnny off all game. Like, Jacob fucking Markstrom, dude.
Dude, he was fucking clutch.
When this game was 0-0 and when this game was 1-0, he made like four or five unbelievable season-saving saves. If the Flames, if you get that Toffoli chance and had like however many shots the Flames had in the first period and how many chances the Flames had in the first period, and it's 0-0 and they score on one of those,
which
they should have, you're just like, you're done. You're so done as a fan and probably as the player. You're just like, we're like, shit.
Yeah. And that he made on Seguin in tight. Yeah, Seguin goes backhand. And he just reads it entirely and sticks the arm out. Like, oh, that was fucking epic,
dude. That was a crazy sequence of events.
Or even the walkout from behind the net.
Yeah,
where that was Tanev.
Yeah, what's just, he doing?
That was a fucking...
Listen, I thought Tanev's had a little bit of trouble handling the puck the last few games. He did save a goal on that power play, but he's kind of been like, the puck's been bouncing on him a lot. But and that other save he makes on Suter on the 3-on-1, all within that kind of same time period.
Oh,
holy shit, dude. Jacob Markstrom, like, he got you through that game.
Yep.
And holy shit, like he and Johnny Gaudreau were the reasons you won last night primarily. Good team effort, but man, oh man, was he and the thing is too, like Sutter, I think, kind of challenged him. And I don't know how much I buy into this because I don't know if Ottinger's been that good, but everyone's like, oh, Markram's been the second best goalie in this series. He was like, fuck you last night.
Yeah, who's got the better numbers now?
Yeah, like he was so those big saves that in years past, the goalie would absolutely let in.
Big Sig Dave's playing. He makes the thing with Big Sig Dave is
he makes the big ones, but then makes the shitty ones.
Yeah, you're not winning that game, bro.
So man, oh man, those are huge. Those are huge for Like if it's 1-0 Dallas after you outshoot them and outchance them that heavily in the first period, you're just like, what? Like this is ridiculous.
Okay, you want to take a trip around the league real quick?
Sure.
Okay, guys, so Nashville is officially done. So Daryl was right again. Complete waste of fucking 6 days or that long that took.
I love that guy so much.
And then other than the Pittsburgh series, and they look fucking great, who saw this coming? They're making swift work of the Rangers. The rest of the fucking series are tied, dude. It's crazy.
I kind of assumed Pittsburgh was going to be rolling the Rangers. I didn't have much faith in the Rangers. But every other series is tied. This is crazy. And like, it is pretty absolutely stupid of the NHL to get rid of like four crazy good teams. Like when you have to get rid of one of Boston, Carolina, one of Tampa Bay, Toronto, one of mini St. Louis.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But these have been crazy. And how about that Florida game last night?
That was epic, dude.
That was insane.
Dude, Bennett got fucking rocked. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was it. I thought it should have maybe been a headshot, kind of.
Well, that was more of a headshot than the Johnny hit, I thought.
Yeah, so yikes. But that Florida game was wild.
That goal by Reinhart, did you see how he scored that?
The tip and then the rebound?
Well, the puck is like flying towards him. And he just bats out of the air to himself, scores. It's unbelievable.
That's some like Stanley Cup shit where it's like you're on the verge. And did you see the empty net before it though? You probably saw it, right?
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's some Doctor Strange shit right there. Hathaway hits the post on an empty net. Florida ties it, wins it in overtime. Woo! And holy shit, did LA look good in game four.
Dude.
Keep it up, boys. Keep it up, boys.
They have a bit of a formula now. I mean, Edmonton's going to come out flying. That's going to be a good game tonight, dude.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that game.
I really hope LA wins again, though. Could you imagine if LA went up 3-2? Dude,
if LA goes up 3-2 and the Flames go up 3-2, like if the Flames, I know everybody wants the Battle of Alberta. Screw that shit.
I don't.
If the Flames win against Dallas and the Kings win against Edmonton, I will never be happier in my entire life.
Oh shit, eh? How good is the Toronto and Tampa series?
Dude, back and forth.
I would love to see a close game, wouldn't you?
It's It'd like be nice. Five,
they just trade winning 5-1.
Game seven is gonna be really cool. Dude, honestly, like I don't pity Leafs fans ever. I kind of feel bad for them though.
Why? Because they're playing Tampa?
Yeah, like fuck.
Yeah, it's rough, eh?
Like, that is unreal. Like, can you imagine? Like, I was ready to barf last night. I was a mess last night. We're playing Dallas. Imagine if that goes to game seven. How could you watch that?
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Like, that's akin to us playing, like, Colorado.
Boston ties up the series.
Big boys.
They're down 2-0. They tied up. Their Canes are having some goaltending issues, eh?
That's your big boys right there.
That's your big boys. That's, I remember
Brad Marchand.
I watched game four where Marchand, was it the go-ahead or tied it up on the power play? I think it was the go-ahead. Fuck, he's good, dude. Marchand is a gamer.
He's money.
Yeah, that's about it, eh? We'll see what happens tonight.
I'm praying for a Mike Smith epic meltdown tonight.
Well, how many games has it been? Three now? Roll the dice, eh? When's it going to happen next?
It was the fact that a damper was put on that because the Flames were in trouble. It kind of bums me out, and I can't gloat too much about it because he had a shutout the next game, and they're tied in their series. But watching him completely mess up game one and then blame it on the crowd and his teammates is just my favorite thing ever.
All right, so game four, what a response game. That was a thorough win. You did fucking checked all the boxes. What does game five have in store? We already kind of covered what they have to do. I think I would do the same thing. If Ben's going to start, put Leegij there again.
Oh, totally.
I mean, he literally – Ben was pretty invisible after that. He was skating around the ice with his tail between his legs. But as a whole, we kind of covered it. Anything else this team needs to do, or what do you expect in game five?
Well, like you said, the crowd thing needs to be, needs to help them, needs to dial them in. I think now that they got their legs beneath them with a few goals, they should be ready to roll tomorrow. We've seen this team dominate on home ice all year. Like, I mean, that's what Daryl said about, you know, that was one of his main, from the players, they wanted to be a better team on home ice. So I feel like they can make this happen now that they know that if they play their game, it's like Dallas doesn't really have a chance. And I think Dallas knows it too.
Yep.
If they come out rocking, they need to come out rocking in the first period. Like you said, they got them by the balls. You can't let go. And it starts in that first period. Get the first goal, get rolling in the first period, squeeze on those nuts as hard as you possibly can.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.